Okay, so to finish out this sugya, so if you remember again, let's quickly summarize. So what we saw last time was as follows. We had seen the machloket Rashi Ravid throughout the sugya as to whether the primary discussion in our sugya is about the content of our machshava, right, or the timing at which you have that machshava. Rashi had focused consistently on the content. Right? Rashi assumes that it is obvious that during Kabbalah, one can have a machshava haposelet, and the reason seems to be very simply, it's an avoda. Right? There's not. On the other hand, he thinks that Kabbalah, right, that if I shechted avanat l'kaba shel bezmano, that would not be. Now, why? So one possibility is because, at least when it comes to pigul, it's only going to be posel if it's achilat Adam or Mechilat Mizbeach. The Ravid quotes a second possibility, at least in the specific case of Shechita to Kabbalah, that shechting an animal, having in mind you do Kabbalah tomorrow, is meaningless because it's Enol and Besachik Ba'alma, because the blood is currently spurting out. You can't say, well, in 24 hours from now, I will then catch the blood. This is, you know, Narishkeit. And therefore, even if you think it doesn't count, it means nothing. Whereas the Ravid focused more on the content. On when you're having the machshav, and we said, well, then you have to talk about, well, why would that be the case? Kabbalah is clearly an avoda. Said yes, but maybe it's not an avoda which the identity is granted. Shechita, because it's the beginning, right? Therefore, it has a greater ability to provide an identity to the karban, or because it's relevant both for the dam and the emurim, right? It's both part of the sidra of the avodot hadam, but it also obviously, because shechita is about permitting the meat, is also relevant for the emurim component of it, and therefore it has that definition going for it. And zrika, obviously, is sort of the pinnacle of the avodut hadam, because that's where you get kapara, by sprinkling the dam on the mizbeach. What we'd left off with last time was Reb Chaim, because Reb Chaim argues that this is, that the notion that what's relevant when you're talking about when a machshava will invalidate is whether something is an avoda or significant and the like. And in terms of content, we look at other things like achila, like, you know, whatever. Reb Chaim argues that it's not true. His proof is from the case of Zrika, because he says, listen, by Zrika we say that there's the discussion of whether you can create pigul by one of, let's say, seven zrikot on the chatot apenimia. Now, if you were talking about achilat mizbeach, and you said, listen, for the content of your machshava, you don't need it to be an avoda, you just need it to be a recognized achila. Well, one of the seven sprinklings or whatever is still an achilat mizbeach, it's going on the mizbeach, and yet we say that doesn't produce pigul. Why not? So he says that points to, and we saw other evidence for this as well, the possibility that even when it comes to content, what matters is whether something is an avoda. The problem is what we left off with last time is, okay, let's say that's true. Let's say that even when it comes to invalidating thoughts, it's not the definition of avoda isn't only relevant to determine what stage in the process I can have improper thoughts and still affect the karban, but it's relevant also in terms of the contents of said machshava, right? The set, what I do must have a certain amount of avoda identity in order for the thoughts about that moment in the process to be invalid. So then we need to look at the cases of pigul and say, well, what about akhtara? What about shvicha? What about achilat hakarban? Now, we're not going to deal with right now achilat hakarban, because that's really a huge sugya in and of itself, which we can't get to now. But let's maybe take a moment on that and come back to Akhtara Shvicha, which is closer to being an avoda. Achila of the karban, you might say, well, that's not an avoda at all. So how could it be that everyone agrees that pigul? Well, get Akhtara in 1 second. Now, achila, you'll say, well, that's not an avoda. So why is it that everybody agrees that that's pigul? Right? That if I shecht, I'm not that's clearly, that's achilat adam. Now, so either you say it's an exception, right, because the pasuk says it, or you say it is an avoda of sorts, because the Gemara actually, there is a, again, this is a big sugya, but it's not crazy that it is a type of an avoda, or at least, if not, if you don't want to say avoda, you would say at least say it's part of the kapara process, because the Gemara does say that kohanim ochlem u bailim mitkaprim. Right? The Gemara in several places has this line that the kohanim eat and the bailim get kapara, implying that achilat adam, at least of the kohanim, right? Not necessarily in shlamim. That's yet another sugya you'd have to deal with. It is mechaper. Now, obviously, this is a huge sugya. Why is it a huge sugya? Because, and hopefully we'll get to it. We'll see what we get to by the end of the year. Rabbi the Gemara, for example, in Yevamo, Daf Tzadi says shakonim ochlim bailam mitkaprim. And yet, the Gemara in Zvachim and Chavav says, "Kaven she gam lemizbech mitkapru bailam." As soon as the blood reaches the mizbech, they get kapara, and therefore you have to figure out, well, how do you deal with a sira like that? How do you deal with a contradiction like that? But we'll pause that for now. Focus on Haktara and Shvicha, and then maybe we'll have time this year to deal with Achilat Kohanim. But we started this with Haktara. So we noted that you have to deal with Haktara and Shvicha in two levels. Yeah, this is where we left off with the Rochel Zin's analysis. Right? One was, to what extent are they part of the Avodot? Question one. The second is, to what extent are they linked to each other? Right? Because then you're going to get into Haktara, L'shem Shvicha, and stuff like that. And this we saw earlier in the year, and that's why I don't feel like we need to spend forever on it. To what extent is Haktara an avoda? So let's start with what it is and what it isn't. What is it? What is it not, actually? What is it very clearly not? It's clearly not an avodat hadam. Very good. It's very much not an avodat hadam. Because, it's not dam. It's the emurin. It's the limbs. It's not avodat hadam. So if it is an avoda, that's because we're introducing the notion that the avoda, not that these acts not related to dam, but related to the limbs, are also somehow avoda. Okay? Okay. So if you, the Gemara in Psachim, Anuntet that we had seen said, "Tanya Yachal, you call him Rashayin bechazev v'shal kodem akhtar de'imurin." So you might have thought that the Kohanim are allowed to eat their portions before the akhtar de'imurin. Right now, this is going to link now achilat hakohanim with achilat mizbeach. Tamud lomar v'hiktir hakohen et achilat hamizbecha. The pasuk says, and the Kohen shall bring the chilev, the fat from his bag, v'hadar v'ayachaz el Aaron levanam, and then Aaron gets his portion. So yachol nitmu imurin shavdu lo yu kohanim zakayim v'chaz shok. So if that was the case, so the first Gemara says, and again we're going to come back to this, but let's just get the basic issues down. So the Gemara says, listen, before you do haktaram ha'imurin, the kohanim aren't allowed to eat their portions in the carbon. Now, what does that imply? That the Akhtar de Murin is... It doesn't imply that it's in the barrier. It says that. But what does that imply? Meaning, like Dom, it's a matir, right? That it is, right? We call Dom the matir, right? Because once it's done, so then you've been matir at Lamizbeach, and this is a matir. It permits it, which implies it's some sort of halachic status, avoda, something like that, meaning it's not just a chiyuv, it's not just a mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah. It's not just that I have to do Akhtar Emurin, because if I don't do Akhtar Emurin, it affects the continuation of the process, which implies that it's somewhat avoda-like. However, then the Gemara complicates this by saying, okay, but let's say by Zrika, you lost the dam. So then, what is the status of said karban? Lacking, it's incomplete. You never finished it. What about Akhtar Emurin, though? What if you lost the Emurin? So the Gemara says, Yachal Nitmu Emurin Oshavdu Lo Yu Kohanim Zakayin Mechazav Ishok. So maybe you would have said, just like by Dam, if I lose it, so then the carbon is incomplete, so I can't eat it. Talmud Lomar Vayachazet Laron Lavanam Mikol Makom. The Gemara says, that's not true. If I lose the limbs, then I can eat the rest of the carbon. You can. You can. Now, what's the problem?
That there doesn't function as a barrier.
Remaining, so is it, or is it not, amatir? What? Well, a good, great. It's amatir if you have them. Why? What does that imply? Why would that be the case?
Because if it's not there, then it's
necessary. Yes, but okay. But when it is there, then I can't eat the meat. The kohen, no, I can't ever eat it. The kohen can, right? Ginsburg can't. Okay. Right. Well, we're talking here about the kohen. The Gemara is talking about kohen. For now, I will limit myself to what the Gemara is talking about. So, is it or is it not necessary?
Well, maybe it's the person placing it for. Is that what makes it necessary, or is it that it's there necessary? Like, is it the like bringing it necessary, or is it that it's there necessary?
So, well, so it's not clear. Now, obviously, right, there's many things you could talk about here. So, first of all, it is worth noting, yes, this is about a shlamim. But it's specifically the Kohanim's rights in the Shlamim. Now, Tosfot assumes that it's not just about Shlamim, it's about all Chazav Ishok. So why? Right now, where does he get this from? Because the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chaf, if you're just following it along here, says, Yibayilu, L'divrei ha'omer nedarim u'nedavot ein kreven b'yom tov. The Gemara there is talking about whether you can bring voluntary karbanot on Yom Tov. Okay?
That's a little bit...
It's not vague. It's not vague at all.
It's like multiple options with that, right?
Nidarim and Nidavo. That's it.
Yeah, that's
Nidarim and Nidavo. That's all there is. So Gemara says, can you bring it on Yom Tov? It's a machloka there. The Gemara, now, why is it a machloka there? Why would you say no? I'm not going to the whole sugya there, but why, according to the Shita, it says you don't bring Nidarim and Nidavo on?
Because it's not after that.
So first of all, it's because, remember, we need ochel nefesh, right? The only malachot that are mutar on Yom Tov are those that are for food. These are for God. And then there's a discussion in the Gemara, but some of them, if they're shlamim, let's say, you eat part of it. And it's true that you eat part of it, but maybe you only eat mishulchan gavoa. Very interesting to sugi there. But the Gemara says, okay, there is a shrita that they can be brought on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, but what if you did? Avar v'shachat ma'at. What if you shechted it? You shouldn't have, but you did. According to the Shita, you don't bring the Dharma and Davut. So Rava Amar, Zorik et Adam, Amanat la tir basar bachila. Rava says, at that point, you should continue and do the Zrika. Because if you do the Zrika, what will at least have happened? Now you can eat the meat. Which makes it that the Shechita, even though you shouldn't have done it, will contribute to Ochel Nefesh. Because you'll be able to eat the meat. So even though you shouldn't have done it at all, but now that you did, if you continue the process, and Zrika is in a malacha, so then you'll be allowed to eat the meat, and then your shechita, retroactively, will be contributing to food activities.
Well, who's going to be taking the blood if no one's going to be getting carbonata?
Nobody. It would just be an invalid carbon. You'd let it sit and die and just be done and have to do this again. So Rava says, don't do that. Rava says, continue bringing it. And Rava Barabuna Omer Zorig et Adam Amanat Lahaktir Emurin La'erev. Rava says, you do Zrika, but not because of the eating of the meat, but in order to allow you to bring the Emurin in the evening. My Benayu, the Gemara said, what's the difference? You both just said that despite the fact you, according to the Shita, that Ein Kreven B'Yom Tov, you weren't supposed to bring it, that once you did bring it, you do Zrika. So what does it matter whether the reason you're doing Zrika is to enable eating or in order to enable Hakravat Haimurin? So Gemara says, Nitma Basar Oshaneva. The difference is what happened if the edible parts are tame or lost. So if you say that it's mutter because you are allowed to continue in order to enable you to eat it, there's nothing to eat. And if it's to enable the parts that go in the Mizbech on the Mizbech, then if the parts that you were going to eat are gone, but the parts that are going in the Mizbech are not gone, then you could kinyan. The Rava lo Zarek, Rava Rona Zarek. Okay? So, Tosvot, that's the background for Tosvot. So Tosvot says, V'im Tomar, Neima di'ike benayu, Kagon shenitma emurim, O shene'evdu. Maybe there's another nafkamina, which is if the emurim become tame, right? Why didn't the Gemara give the inverse? Which is the stuff that's going in the mizbeach got lost or became tame, right? Wouldn't that be the exact opposite? Then, according to the one who says it's about permitting the stuff that goes in the mizbeach, it would be also the one who says eating would be mutter. The ravas are go hoel va'achel basar aval kasha. Hey, Echiv Azar Mutar Bachila. Amar Hatam. Emurin Kol Kama Delomakri Basar Lomet Achel. Right? Tosa said, well, there would be a problem with that position. Because if there are an Emurin, then you shouldn't be able to eat the meat. Right? So now we need to ask, okay, but why? So the Rav gave two explanations. Okay, there's two ways of explaining why it is that the Haktarat Emuren is net with that if the Haktarat Emuren hasn't been done, you can't eat the meat. One possibility is what you learn from this is that every carbon fundamentally has two matirin, right? Two critical moments that allow the carbon to be valid. One is the dam, right? Those the Rizvika and the Avod the dam. The other is Akdar Neimurin. And then, how would you say, then why if they get lost and they get become tame that you're allowed to eat the meat anyways if they're a matir? So either you come up with possibly one is you come up with some chiddush and they're like they're a matir as long as it's possible. Okay, that's one possibility, right? If you say that, then is Haktarat Emurin Avoda-esque? Yes. Weird, admittedly, because it's a matir, but only if it's there. But it is, that parallel would highlight that it's essentially like the matir of Dam, just, you know, not quite as essential. But it's really Avoda-like. It's a matir, no less, or yes, less, but parallel to, okay, less, but not that much less than the dam. That's possibility one. Second possibility that the Rav says is no. If it was actually a matir, then, and I know this is crazy, it would be necessary to bring it to make things mutter. But it's not. Because if it's gone, then you're allowed to eat the meat. So therefore he says the other possibility is that it's an external problem. It's not a matir, it's an external problem. So, for example, it is 8 o'clock at night. Evan, are you allowed to have a full su'uda at 8 o'clock at night? Right now. This year, right now, today. Can you allow to have a su'uda at 8 o'clock at night? No, you're not. What does it depend on? Have you? Very good. Have you daven Maariv and said Shema? Now, are you going to tell me that saying Shema, davening Maariv, is a matir to eating? No, you'll say there's a halacha that as long as I have a chiyuv, I'm not supposed to get involved in an extensive meal that's going to make me get distracted and miss Shema, but it doesn't matter, right? Now, you'll say, then how do we eat before? Well, the answer is there are exceptions to this, such as if you have a set time that you always daven Maariv, so you know you're not going to miss it, well, then you are allowed to have a meal, right? So if now that it's the summer and now that you can't daven Maariv at 6:30, so I don't know what we decided, but let's say we decided that Maariv is 10 o'clock. Yeah. 10. We did decide that Maariv is 10 o'clock tonight. Yeah. So now you have a set time for Maariv, and therefore you can still have dinner at, 6:30 is still day now, but, you know, whatever. If you, 7:30, at 7:30, right? If you want to hold it off, you have a chavrusa during dinner and you have quickly at the end of Seder, it's already nightfall, you're allowed to. Now, you'll tell me, but how does that make any sense? You said I can't eat before Maariv, but now suddenly Maariv's at 10 o'clock. Now I can't eat before Maariv. The answer is, it's not like a matir. It's not like you can't eat before Maariv. It's that if you have a chiyuv to do, you're not allowed to be doing things that are distracting unless you can ensure that you'll perform the mitzvah. right? It's external, right? It's not like there's nothing intrinsic, right? But this is true of Bedikat Chametz in a few weeks, right? That you know you're not supposed to do anything, right? Once the Zman of Bedikat Chametz starts, and even half an hour before, you're not supposed to be involved in having a meal, you're not supposed to be learning Torah, you don't do anything. You're supposed to be doing Bedikat Chametz. Right? You're not supposed to do things that will get you involved in other things. So you could say that Hakdar de Murin isn't a matir, it's just that, listen, you have a mitzvah to do, and as long as you're chayav to do the mitzvah, you're not allowed to be involved in something else. Now, if that's the case, then, first of all, is Hakdar and Avoda really? No, it's just a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. I have to do it.
But it's
a mitzvah. Is Kriyat Shema related to my meal in any way, shape, or form? No. But I have a mitzvah to do, and until I do the mitzvah, I can't get distracted. So you could say, it's similar to this, I can't eat my chelek until I do it Akdari Murin. Or if you want to give a localized svara, well, let's give you the localized svara and then your question. The localized svara the Rav actually says is, no, the Gemara in several places has this formulation, which is, Lo yehei shulchan cha male ver shulchan rab cha reikam. That it's wrong for your table to be full, but God's table to be empty. Right? Which is, meaning it's just, now, what? Well, no, that's actually a different drasha. It's a similar idea, but it's a different drasha. That's actually lo tochal al adam. But sure, it's more similar to the idea that the way the Gemara says it is that you shouldn't eat before davening, because before you daven for your blood, you shouldn't be eating and taking care of yourself before you daven for your blood. But this is a specific one by Karban, is that your table shouldn't be full while God's table, as it were empty. So that's a little bit less external than, let's say, the Kriyat Shema dinner one, but it's not so far off. Meaning the point is, it's not that it's a matir, it's that it's inappropriate for you to be eating when the Mizbeach is empty. Or to put it more precisely, when the Mizbeach could be full and is empty. Because then you're showing I care about my own meal more than I care about the Mizbeach's consumption. If that's the case, is Haktaran Emurin in Avoda per se? Lav Davka. It's a mitzvah which happens to do to be with happens to relate to consumption of this karban. But because of the impropriety of you consuming your portions before that which you're supposed to give to the Mizbeach, therefore we say you can't do it. But when will that impropriety be raised? Waived is what I meant. When there is nothing to put on the Mizbeach, because then the reason I'm eating while the Mizbeach is empty is not because I don't care, it's because I can't. Now, again, if that's the case, so just to highlight it again, so coming back, why did we come into this? So again, according to Reb Chaim, the question not just of when you can have improper machshavot, but the content of the machshavot is also about it being an avoda. But we know that by pigul, one of the things that can be the content of your machshava is hakdarat emurin, hakdarat emurin lamachar. And now you come back and you say, okay, well then, is it plausible, if Reb Chaim is right, then I need to come up with a plausible way of explaining that Akhtara is an Avoda. And the question is there such a thing? The answer is, well, yes, right? If you take the first formulation of the Rav, then Hakhtara de Murin is also a Matir, admittedly not at the same level as Zrika, because if it's gone, you don't need it, but it's still a Matir of sorts. However, if you said it's totally external, it's like Kriyat Shema dinner, then Reb Chaim Svar is going to be much more problematic, and you're going to go back to the simple pshat of Rashi, which is that the reason that Haftarat Emurin works for Pigul is because the definition of the content of the Machshava of Pigul is not Avoda, but is Achila. Achila Adam Achila at Mizbeach, and therefore even if it's non-Avoda, it might be in Achila. Now, and this would obviously also work with a Havamina in Yerushalmi and Tosin in Zvachan, that we already saw that you could have Psulei Machshava in Haktara itself. But again, if you don't buy this, if you buy the second formulation, then you're going to have to go more in the direction of what defines the content of the Machshava. Is not avoda, unlike Reb Chaim, but more achila, achila adam, achila mizbeach, etc. Okay? Now, another piece of evidence. Yes, Judy, you had a question? The content of the Machshava also being about Avodah. Being having to be Avodah.
I think that's what you're saying about, and you compared it to Shema.
No, that was not Reb Chaim, right? That was, again. Reb Chaim says that the question of the content of the Machshava that can validate is also a question of whether it's an Avodah or not, not just Achila. We said in order to make that plausible, because we know that Pigol creates, it can be created with Shechita Amanat Lahaktir Emurin Lamachar. So according to Reb Chaim, you now have to come up with a formulation that Akhtar is an Avodah. We said, well, is that plausible? So we said, on the one hand, it's true that before Akhtar and Emurin, you can't eat the Mizbeh, the Kohen can't eat his portion, which implies that it is parallel to Zrikat Adam. On the other hand, if you lose them, you can eat. So there are two ways of taking that. One is, this is basically Zrika minus, that it's like Zrika in the sense that it's Matir something, raised Matir the Achila, but it's weaker such that it's only a Matir that you need to do if you actually have the possibility of doing it. Otherwise, we waive it. But if you say that, it's going to be an avodah of sorts, a weaker avodah, admittedly, than Zrika, because Zrika, you don't have the option of saying, well, there's no dam, so I don't have to do anything and I can just continue. That doesn't work. But that would open the possibility that Reb Chaim is right. But if you say, no, really, Haktara is not an avodah at all. So why is it that I can't eat my own, the Kohen can't eat his portion, the carbon, before Haktara? Not because Haktara is an avodah or matir per se, but because it's like Kriyat Shema and dinner, right? Kriyat Shema and dinner don't have an intrinsic connection. It's just that you have a chiyuv to daven Maariv and say Shema, and therefore we don't let you get involved in a meal, which might distract you. And here the parallel would be a little bit tighter, which is you can't be consuming while God's place of consumption is empty. Well, that only is true if there is something potentially that could be put in the Mizbeach and you are being derelict. If it doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist, right? That's like, right, obviously, right, obviously, like, right now if I eat, right, obviously having hot chocolate, or hot chocolate, cold chocolate, hot chocolate, right? We don't say, how could you have hot chocolate? The Mizbeach doesn't have hot chocolate right now. We say, right? Obviously, there has to be some connection between my consumption and the Mizbeach consumption in order to create a optics problem. But that doesn't mean that it's an avoda per se. And that, obviously, if you take that perspective, then Haktara isn't necessarily an avoda. And then you would say, then why can it be the content of the thoughts of Pigol? Well, maybe Reb Chaim isn't right. Right? Maybe the content of your machshava doesn't need to be an avoda. It just needs to be significant. It just needs to be an achila adam, achila mizbeach, achila whatever. It needs to be halachic significant, but not an avoda. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the point of this. Now, the next part we did earlier in the year, and that's why I'm just going to review it for you, but let's see how well you remember it. Another piece of evidence that it has this avoda-esque status is the fact that the Gemara in Psachim says that Elu Dvarim b'Pesach dochinet ha-Shabbat. What things are docha Shabbat by Pesach? So, shchitato, shechting it, uzrikat damo, and sprinkling the blood, umichli kravav, v'haktaret chalavav, the offering of its fats.
Wait, why would zrikat be asura? Is that considered a common sin?
No. So that's a good question. I mean, it's probably more derabbanan, but if you remember, the Gemara had said, "Well, why is that the case? Why are you allowed to do hekter chalav ve'varim on Shabbat that you shouldn't be allowed to? Why not? Because you could always do it at night. Remember, any leftovers you can do at night, which would be motzei Shabbat. So why are you allowed to do it on Shabbat? And remember what the Gemara answers. That's why I'm not spending too much on this because we did this." So, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bo Re'e, Kama Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shata. Look how great, how beloved a mitzvah is. It's right time. Because it's kosher at night on Motzai Shabbat. And yet we don't wait. We do it now. Now, remember we did this earlier. We said, why not? Is this just Zrizin Makdimin LaMitzvah? You do things earlier? The answer is obviously not. Because Zrizin says you should do things with alacrity. You should do them as early as possible. But if it's usher to do on Shabbat, because it's a malacha, then Zrizin wouldn't make it that you can be Mechal Shabbat. In order to say that you're allowed to do it even on Shabbat, even though it would be kosher at night, what does that imply? That it's a chiyuv now. Like, when I do it tonight, it's not lack of zrizin, it's haktar chalom, it's like leftover haktar chalom bevarim. It's sugbet. It's level two. But that means it actually has a specific time, and that time, even though it's not ma'akev, I could do it tonight, is docha Shabbat. Is docha Shabbat. Now, if you take the Rav's first formulation, that Hafdarat Emurin is like a matir parallel to Zrikar Hadam. It's just that if it's not there, it's okay. So you understand why it can be docha Shabbat. Because as we saw, many avodot are docha Shabbat. The second one is much harder. Right? Yeah, right, you could. That's the thing, is you could say, maybe not, maybe during the day it has a status of a matir, at night it has the lower level, it's hard. But it definitely points in the direction of being a quasi-avoda, which again would give some support to Reb Chaim's thesis that the things that are the content and not just the way you create the machshava of pigel also have to be avodot. Two other places that we saw this were the, and this is where we already start to get to shvichat shirayim, is the following. The Gemara in Zvachim later on in Kuftet says, "Amakrev kodshim ve'imurim b'chutz chayav." That if I sacrifice them outside the mikdash, I'm chayev for being makrev bachutz. But that also implies that it's a type of in avoda, right? Because it's the whole point of makrev bachutz. I'm doing an avoda outside. Exactly. Another relevant one is Tanya Kavata Dira Papa Hashoged Bezak Alachomates over Lotase Vechara Shochid Vechara Zorg Vechara Makdir Chayev. The Gemara Psachim introduced the prohibition that we've seen now several times, that it's usher to shech the carbon Pesach while you still have chametz. But the Gemara there includes not just that, but also Zrika and Haktara. That if I shech the carbon pesach while I have chametz, if I do zrika of the carbon pesach while I have chametz, or if I do akhtara of the carbon pesach while I have chametz, I violate lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. What? What? Right now we're just talking about Pesach. I'm not going to get into other carbonot. That's a machloket in Pesachim, whether the tamid is also like that. Let's just focus on the Pesach. What? Yeah, but the parallel, again, two out of those three of those are clearly avodot. So the third one sounds like it's avodah-like. Again, I don't want to get into all these sugyot. Right now, my point is just to highlight the fact that, as we saw earlier in the year, there is evidence to bolster the claim that akhtara is defined as an avodah, even though it's not one of the avodot hadam. And as such, one can defend the akhtara de mur inside of pigol within Reb Chaim's framework, that the content of pigol must also be in avodah. Well, I mean, there's several pieces of evidence to this. Okay. Now, what about shvichat shirayim? Is shvichat shirayim at any rate, in any sense, in avodah? So here, again, we have, this is a little bit less clear. So if you look at the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf Yod, the Gemara there quotes the position of Reb Nechemya that says Shari Adam Shekhar Bafot Chayev. Reb Nechemya thinks that when it comes to Hakrava Bachutz, Shari Adam is also be considered Avoda. Bringing outside the Mikdash. Which means that Reb Nechemya clearly holds that it is. Now, why? So the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph says, well, is this because he holds? So in general, we assume that Shiari Adam, the pouring the rest of the blood on the Mizbeach, right, after you did the Zrika, pouring the rest of the Yisod of Mizbeach, that is not Ma'akev. But that's actually a Machloket. Rabbi Yochanan says the only way to justify saying that you're Chayev for Shvichat Shirayim Bachutz is if it's essential, that it's also Ma'akev. Now, that would imply that the question of is Shirichat Shirayim an Avoda at some level is just a machloket. If it's Ma'akev, then maybe it's an Avoda, and that's why you're Chayev Bachutz. And if it's not Ma'akev, well, it's not essential in Karbanot, and therefore it's not going to be considered in Avoda out of the Mikdash either. That's one day in the Gemara. The second day in the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Nechemya holds it's not Ma'akev, and he still thinks that it's Chayev Bachutz. And what's the Gemara's proof? Hakdar de Murin. Because we already said Hakdar de Murin is not Ma'akev. If you lose the Hakdar de Murin, you're still Yotze, you still get Kapara, you can still eat the limbs. And then the Gemara therefore compares it and says, no, it's not true. You can actually have something which is non-essential and is what? Yeah, right, meaning it's now, right, it's now noting the possibility that it's meaning, right, meaning that even if it's not essential, it still can have like an avoda-esque quality. That's what we learned from Haktaret Emurin. Now, if you say that, so then Shvichat Shirayim, what does that imply? Right, that Shvichat Shirayim, whatever that status of avoda is in Haktaret Emurin, Shvichat Shirayim has that as well. Now, Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Akiva argue in that Braisa whether you can really compare them or not. Rabbi Akiva says you can't. Because he says, what do you mean? Akhtarde Murin is Tchilat Avoda. Shvichat Shirayim is just not. Meaning, Bikiva specifically challenges it on these grounds. And he says, well, Shvichat Shirayim isn't Akhtarde Murin. You know, is what it is. But this is, you know, not that. Right, now this appears as well on Daf Lamed Chet. So now we come back to what we've been talking about is, so let's come back to the Raavad. Because remember, the Raavad had said that we're talking here not about the content, but what counts as an avoda, right? At what point in Kabbalah you can, but haktara lishvicha. Remember the Raavad? It's haktara to shvicha. You can't possible it, right? Why? So he says, look, even if you think that at some level Haktara is a quasi-avoda, Shvichah's Haktara is a quasi-avoda, and both of those therefore can be the content of Pigul, maybe from Haktara to Shvichah you couldn't. And what would the logic be for that? Because both of them are only quasis. Right? It could be that even if they're enough to be Pigul, because you're going from a full avoda to these, they're avoda enough for Pigul. The Raavad seems to suggest, yeah, but that won't work from Haktara to Shvicha. And the reason might be because, yeah, maybe they're avodah, but they're both sort of second level avodah. They're both second level avodah. It could be that from one to the other. And that would bring us now to, right, so now we have three potential debt. You have Rashi. So according to Rashi, there's no difference between Haktara and Shvicha. by pigol, meaning, right, again, it's about content. It's about where you can have the machshava, right? And neither of them can be the place at which you have machshava, right? That's a Rashi is also good. In that sense, neither Akhtar or Shvich are high enough on the totem pole to be where you have the machshava. But if you're talking about content, so Haktara we've established, we know that that's pigol, right? Zrika manat lahakter lamachar is pigol. So according to Rukhaim, how could it be? According to Ravet, how could it be? So the answer might be, it's not just achila, that's one possibility. The second possibility is, at least when it comes to Haktara, it is sort of a voda. What about Shvicha? Right, Shvicha Shirayim. So again, one could distinguish and say, well, Haktara is higher level than Shvicha. That's why Haktara, yes, maybe Shvicha, no. If you accept Rabbi Nechemiah, that you could say that maybe, right, Shvicha Shirayim is actually higher than Haktara, right, because it's about blood. And then you would have obviously more complexity, or you could say the Shvicha, right, Haktar, two Shvicha is more problematic. But anyways, again, there obviously is a lot more that we can talk about in both Shvicha Shirayim and Haktara. For today, just to summarize, the reason that it was so important to point out that there is a certain level of avoda status is because of Reb Chaim, right, is that we had, because until then we had focused on Rashi and the Ravid, right, who had simply either said that the question here is about when you can have machshava, in which case avoda matters, or it's about where you can have it, right? And there avoda isn't necessarily the only qualification, achilat adam, achilat mizbeach, and the like. Reb Chaim's argument based on the Zrika case was that no, even when we're talking about content, what matters is avoda, but since the classic case is Haktara. The lesson is that we have to talk about Shvicha, Shvicha Shirayim. We had to prove that at some level Haktara is an Avoda, and that's what we know, that Haktara, that at least is quite plausible, both from the sugya of Haktara Bachutz, as well as the fact that it does seem to act as a matir, for the basar, and the fact that we're allowed to bring it on Shabbat, even though you could bring it later, because Chaviv Mitzvah B'Shaita, which shows that, like the other Avodot, it actually can, it has a Zman, and that Zman is enough for it to allow you to override, you know, problems of Shabbat and the like. So in that sense, right, we pointed out that by establishing the Avoda, or at least quasi-avoda status of the avoda, or the quasi-avoda status of the carbon, that what? That what I'm saying, no, that this can allow us to defend Reb Chaim's argument. That when it comes to the content of machshava, and not just when you have the machshava, Haktara is a plausible option because it's an avoda, or it might be an avoda, and therefore that side is defensible. Again, we saw not everyone agrees with that, but to be fair, not everyone agrees with Reb Chaim, right? Some people, right, the simple shot is not necessarily like Reb Chaim, which is that when it comes to the content of the machshava, especially by pigol, it doesn't need to be an avoda, it needs to be chashuv for other rims, right? The simple shot is that it needs to be achilat adam achilat mizbeach, not because they're avodas, but because they are. And of course, as I mentioned, the other thing you're going to have to deal with is if Reb Chaim really takes it out of sof, then you're going to assume that Reb Chaim must believe that achilat hamizbeach is also achilat adam is also a quasi-avoda, which again is not something we've established now, but as we saw, the fact that the Gemara does say that there's kohanim eating it, that a kohanim ochlam b'ayla mit kaprim, that it has a kapara component, it's not actually insane to say that there's an avoda-esque component to achilat adam as well, right? Especially if you don't achilat kohanim, and therefore, again, yes, we're stretching the interpretation of avoda, but because it is possible, right, you could defend Reb Chaim in that way. We'll leave it at that. We now have...